वासुदेवाय दिस इवनिंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम भगवद गीता एज इट इज चैप्टर वन टेक्स्ट नंबर टू थ्रू टेक्स्ट नंबर इलेवन विल बी रिसाइटिंग टेक्स्ट टू टुगेदर संजय वाच दृष्ट्वा तु पांडवानीकम् यूढ़ं दुर्योधनस्तदा आचार्यमुपसंगम्य राजा वचनमब्रवीत् संजय उवाच दृष्ट्वा तु पांडवानीकम् यूढ़ं दुर्योधनस्तदा आचार्यमुपसंगम्य राजा वचनमब्रवीत् संजय उवाच दृष्ट्वा तु पांडवानीकम् व्यूढ़ं दुर्योधनस्तदा आचार्यमुपसंगम्य राजा वचनमब्रवीत् संजय वाच संजय सेट दृष्ट्वा आफ्टर सीइंग तू बट पांडव अनीकम द सोल्जर्स ऑफ द पांडवास ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन संजय सेट ओ किंग After looking over the army arranged in military formation with the sons of Pandu, King Duryodhana went to his teacher and spoke the following words. Purport. Dhritarashtra was blind from birth. Unfortunately, he was also bereft of spiritual vision. He knew very well that his sons were equally blind in the matter of religion, and he was sure that they could never reach an understanding with the Pandavas. We are all pious since birth. Still, he was doubtful about the influence of the place of pilgrimage. And Sanjaya could understand his motive in asking about the situation on the battlefield. Sanjaya wanted therefore to encourage the despondent king and thus assured him that his sons were not going to make any sort of compromise under the influence of the holy place. Sanjaya therefore he informed the king that his son Duryodhana, after seeing the military force of the Pandavas, at once went to the commander-in-chief Dronacharya to inform him of the real position. Although Duryodhana is mentioned as a king, he still had to go to the commander on account of the seriousness of the situation. He was therefore quite fit to be a politician, but Duryodhana's diplomatic veneer could not disguise the fear he felt when he saw the military arrangement of the Pandavas for the evening Bhagavad Gita discourses, which is being newly introduced. Yesterday, His Grace Govind Prabhu took the first text of this particular chapter. Today, we are starting from text 2. Now, Srila Prabhupada, when he was in London, he gave a series of talks on the verses of the first chapter. So in one of these lectures, he makes a very interesting point about this battle of Kurukshetra. He says that the whole battle was finished in 18 days, not lingering for many years like today. People used to put their best efforts and finish it off. But with the commence of the age of Kali, the age of darkness, the mode of ignorance is more prevalent and there is procrastination in everything, including even in wars. The wars go on for years together. But in the bygone eras, the Kshatriyas were so spirited that they were eager to fight and put their best and finish off the business. There is also an instance in the Mahabharata wherein they did even overtime. They were fighting even at night. So this is one thing Srila Prabhupada says about wars in bygone ages. In another of his lectures, Prabhupada says that one person criticized him, telling that Swamiji have introduced this Hare Krishna movement and so people have become cowards simply chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said, I refuted him. Just see what the Hare Krishna movement will do to the world in the future. The two greatest wars in Indian history were fought during the period of Ramayana and the Mahabharata. And who are the people involved in this? Vishnu and a Vaishnava. In Ramayana, it was Lord Ram and Hanumanji. And in Mahabharata, it was Krishna and Arjuna. So Prabhupada was telling, if Krishna desires, devotees are even ready to become violent. And several times in the lecture, he clarifies that generally devotees are non-violent. But if required, they are even ready to become violent also. A devotee is not simply someone who simply chants Hare Krishna. Now, many times people in society, they feel that these Hare Krishna people, they simply chant Hare Krishna, they don't do anything. But here in Prabhupada says, in this particular lecture, the devotees are ready to get into any field if required. Sociology, politics, anything for Krishna's pleasure. They are even ready to become violent. So, as devotees in the Hare Krishna movement, Prabhupada set this example for us also, that as devotees, we chant Hare Krishna, we perform devotional service to Krishna. But as a service on behalf of the Lord, the Lord's mission is Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chadushkritam. And because we are part of the mission of the Lord, for the sake of the Lord's mission, we are ready to do anything for the service of the Lord. So Prabhupada encouraged all his devotees to get into various fields. Today we see Prabhupada's disciples in all fields, archaeology, politics, science, everywhere, somehow trying to establish Krishna's mission on this planet. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an episode of King Vena. Now this King Vena was an unrighteous king, and he was a demon basically, who somehow reached the post of a king. In those eras, only one demon managed to reach that position. So by the power of the Brahmanas, this Vena was killed. And then the sages, while they were performing their spiritual activities on the bank of the river Saraswati, they saw dust rising from a distance. They could make out that because King Vena had died, the rogues and thieves had become very, very powerful in society. And the sages started discussing amongst each other. Brahmana samadrakshanto dinanam samupekshaka sravate brahma tasyapi bhinna bhandatpayo yatha. So they said, they discussed that Brahmana samadrakshanto. Normally, a Brahmana or a devotee of the Lord is equipoised and peaceful. But dinanam samupekshaka. But when he sees that people in society are troubled and they are in miserable situation, but if he neglects to help them, then what happens? Sravate brahma tasyapi bhinna bhandat payoyatha. Gradually, his spiritual power starts leaking out. The spiritual power starts decreasing, just like water leaks out from a crack in a pot. So the Brahmanas or Vaishnavas, if they neglect to help the society in hours of need, their own spiritual prowess decreases in due course of time. So it is a duty of the devotees on behalf of the Supreme Lord to go out of their way by trying to establish the mission of the Lord and spread Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada in this particular lecture, he was telling that devotees, this is not cowardice, this is Krishna consciousness, this is Vaishnavism, not cowardism, Prabhupada was telling. And Prabhupada himself was so courageous in spreading Krishna consciousness. Once during a morning walk in Calcutta, they were crossing the Victoria building. And Prabhupada told one of the devotees that when I was young, I once climbed on the scaffolding on Victoria building, right to the top. So devotees said, Prabhupada, you must have been really brave then. Prabhupada said, I am still brave. Otherwise, how could I come to US alone? I came to the United States of America alone without knowing anyone there except for one person who had sent him that whatever was required for him to go to US. Practically speaking, he had no support there. Still, Prabhupada was so courageous to spread Krishna consciousness. And even after the establishing the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, during the course of his preaching, Prabhupada was really courageous and brave to continue preaching. For example, during the Calcutta Pandal program, Naxalites at that time were becoming very, they were having a good time in Calcutta trying to harass people. So they were sending notes to Srila Prabhupada, fly or die. And Prabhupada, he refused to fly. He said, what better way for a Vaishnava to die than to die while fighting on behalf of Krishna. So he risked his life for spreading Krishna consciousness. And then on one particular Pandal program, on one particular day, Radha Gopinath ki jai. Prabhupada was about to begin the lecture and the Naxalites, they started creating some disturbance. And the devotees tried to stop them, but they wouldn't stop. And there was some fighting, physical fights in the audience. And there was disturbance and chaos all around. Devotees didn't know what to do. Srila Prabhupada simply closed his eyes and started chanting prayers from the Brahma Samhita. Chintamani prakara sadmusu kalpa vriksha laksha avrateshu. And immediately everything quietened. The Naxalites left. And many audience also left. But those who had to stay straight, and the Pandal program continued. So Prabhupada, he himself led. And he gave the example for us to follow. And Srila Prabhupada, even after his disappearance, still shows his courage and fearlessness. Many years ago, at Nairobi, when a class was going on, just like today, I think it was a Srimad Bhagavatam class that was going on, suddenly 35 armed men entered into the temple hall, all armed with AK-47. And that is quite common in those countries. They wanted to basically steal. So they came and they told the devotees, all of you lie down on the floor. So everyone lied down. And they looked around just to see if anyone wasn't lying down. Then they saw Prabhupada. He was still sitting. Lie down on the floor like the other devotees, like the other men. And Prabhupada wouldn't listen. He was still sitting. He screamed twice or thrice, lie down on the floor. Prabhupada wouldn't listen. Then the leader of the gang, he took his gun, pointed straight at Srila Prabhupada and he said, if you don't lie down, I'll shoot you. And Prabhupada still wouldn't lie down. And then they were so afraid that this person is absolutely fearless. And all of them ran away. So it's a true incident which shows that Prabhupada is still exhibiting his courage in the form of his duty also. So coming back to this verse, we see Duryodhana coming to Dronacharya and is starting to speak. What does he say? Oh my teacher, behold the great army of the sons of Pandu, so expertly arranged by our intelligent disciple, the son of Drupada. Here in this army are many heroic bowmen, equal in fighting to Bhima and Arjuna. Great fighters like Yudhana, Virata and Drupad. There are also great heroic powerful fighters like Drishtaketu, Chekitana, Kashiraja, Purujit, Kuntibhoja and Shaibya. There are the mighty Yudhamanyu, the very powerful Uttamauja, the son of Subhadra and the sons of Draupadi. All these warriors are great chariot fighters. But for your information, O best of the Brahmanas, let me tell you about the captains who are especially qualified to lead my military force. There are personalities like you, Bhishma, Karna, Kripa, Ashwatthama, Vikarna and the son of Somadatta called Bhurishrava, who are always victorious in battle. There are many other heroes who are prepared to lay down their lives for my sake. All of them are well equipped with different kinds of weapons and all are experienced in military science. Our strength is immeasurable and we are perfectly protected by grandfather Bhishma, whereas the strength of the Pandavas, carefully protected by Bhima, is limited. All of you must now give full support to grandfather Bhishma as you stand at your respective strategic points of entrance into the phalanx of the army. So these words which are spoken by Duryodhana to Dronacharya, they are very, very well thought, very diplomatic. Every word, every sentence is well thought over, considering what Drona will think after hearing this sentence. For example, he says, "Behold the great army of the sons of Pandu, so expertly arranged by our intelligent disciple, the son of Drupada." Now he knows the name Drashtadyumna, but he calls him the son of Drupada. Why? Because Drupada is an enemy of Dronacharya. So the story goes that Drupada and Dronacharya went to the same Gurukul, and when they were small, they're friends, and then Drupada said that once I become the king, I will give you half the kingdom. Later on, Dronacharya and Drupada both grew up, they got married. Dronacharya was a poor Brahmana. So his son Ashwatthama one day was crying for milk, and Dronacharya didn't have milk to provide for his son. So he remembered that Drupada is my good friend and now he's the king. So definitely he will help me get a cow. He'll give me a cow. At least definitely he'll give me a cow. And he helped me in this regard. So he went to Drupada. But now Drupada said, "You are a Brahmana and you are a poor Brahmana and I am the king. How can we be friends?" And in this way he insulted Dronacharya. Dronacharya, he took vow that he will take revenge. Then he became the guru of the Kauravas and the Pandavas, the military guru. So as Guru Dakshina, he told the Kauravas, get Drupada as a captive for me. Kauravas tried, miserably failed. Then the Pandavas, headed by Arjuna, went ahead, captured Drupada. And Dronacharya took half the kingdom from Drupada and then left him. Drupada became very angry and he thought, "I will take revenge." So he performed a sacrifice so that a son will be born who will kill Dronacharya. And that son was Drashtadyumna. And Dronacharya knew this, that this particular son who is being born is born to kill me. Still, when Drashtadyumna approached Dronacharya for military education, Dronacharya, as a liberal Brahmana, did not hesitate. He gave all education to Drashtadyumna, and during the battle of Kurukshetra, Drashtadyumna joined the side of the Pandavas, and he was responsible for arranging for all the military forces for the Pandavas. So here Duryodhana is pointing out to Dronacharya that because you were responsible to teach all military secrets to Drashtadyumna, that is why we are going to face such a formidable phalanx today. And he's pointing out this mistake of Drona and is taking the name of Drupada just so that Dronacharya will become angry. And the spirit of trying to defeat the Pandavas will come out. Because Duryodhana knew that Dronacharya's favorite student was Arjuna, and he had some inclination towards the Pandavas. And even during the battle, at various instances, Dronacharya used to glorify Arjuna and the Pandavas. Once, for example, Duryodhana boasted that, "Now I will take my military forces and finish off the Pandavas." Dronacharya said, "Why are you joking? Impossible." Dronacharya is on the side of Duryodhana, but still he used to openly praise the Pandavas. Duryodhana knew this. So he wanted Dronacharya to become angry and be inspired to fight with full vigor and give up his inclination towards the Pandavas. So he's choosing his words in such a way that Drona will be inspired to fight. Then again in the very next verse, again he takes the name of Drupada again. And then later on he takes the name of Kripacharya. These are the fighters on our side. Kripacharya. Why? Because Kripacharya was related to Dronacharya. Kripacharya's twin sister married Drona. And also he takes the name of Ashwatthama. Because Ashwatthama is the dear son of Drona. So he's praising Ashwatthama. He takes the name of a few warriors on his side. But amongst those few warriors, there are many warriors. But out of those few warriors, he especially makes sure that he takes the names of those warriors who are especially dear to Drona. Expert diplomat. Every word well thought over. And then later on, as we read in the verses just now, he felt that Bhishma is left out. He is the commander in chief. And he takes Bhishma's name also. And then he feels that, what about the other warriors? I didn't take their names. And finally he concludes by telling that, all of you should give full support to Bhishma. Because Bhishma might be engaged fighting the war on one side, and then the enemy might attack from the other side. So he wanted to encourage everybody and wanted to inspire everybody. So every word, well thought, very, very diplomatic. But the acharyas, and here Srila Prabhupada mentions, but Duryodhana's diplomatic veneer could not disguise the fear he felt when he saw the military arrangement of the Pandavas. Even though he was so diplomatic, so expert, every word. Now recently in news, we can hear that how sometimes politicians, they speak one wrong sentence, knowingly or unknowingly, and sometimes they have to quit their seat. A person in a leadership position has to be so expert, and he has to think over every word he speaks. Every word he speaks will be recorded. Just like Srila Prabhupada, whatever he spoke was recorded. And whatever he spoke is law in ISKCON, Prabhupada said. So that is the position of a leader. So Duryodhana, from that point of view, was an expert leader. We can just see from these verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Few verses Duryodhana speaks, from that we can see Duryodhana's personality. What an expert, intelligent politician he was. From a material point of view, he was an expert. But we can see here, he could not disguise his fear. Somewhere deep within his heart, he was very fearful seeing the military arrangement of the Pandavas. He had 11 Akshoyanyas and Pandavas had only 7. But still, there was fear. It was highly unexpected for him, because he had sent the Pandavas for exile for 13 years and he felt that what army can they arrange? He underestimated the presence of Krishna on their side. Once there is a Krishna factor, then everything is taken care of. And poor people of demonic mentality, they cannot see, they cannot understand this phenomenon of how Krishna can turn the entire situation. So Duryodhana, he didn't expect it, that the Pandavas could build such a formidable army to fight on their behalf. So suddenly, as soon as he saw the military arrangement, he became extremely fearful. So this brings out a very interesting and important point from this character of Duryodhana, that simply by becoming an expert on the material field cannot give us freedom from fear and anxiety. This holds true at the level of nations, at the level of society, and even at individual level. At the level of the nation, recently Devamrat Swami Maharaj was here and he was quoting statistics. To be precise, he said 45.7% of all university students in America have at least one mental disorder. at least one mental disorder. What does it mean? A stressed society. Anxiety-ridden society. Stress, fear, anxiety, all pervading. Even though materially they are well-equipped, one of the most leading nations of the world, even on an individual level, unless we take shelter of the Supreme Lord, there is no question of fearlessness. Once Giriraj Maharaj was on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada at Juhu Beach. And Prabhupada started explaining that there are two words, Anath and Sanath. Anath means without master, and Sanath means with master. And Prabhupada said, the whole goal of life, the whole goal of spiritual life is to become Sanath. Now we see, the goal of material life is to become Anath. In today's society, more and more people don't want to have any master. No master. That is the mentality. People feel that if I don't have a master, then I'll be happy. That is the mentality. Because they are not aware of how sweet and wonderful it is to have a supreme master like Krishna. We can see it in trains also. Small stickers are put all around. Be your own boss and earn 10,000 rupees per month. Boss ka jhanjat nahi, they'll write. So very popular not to have any boss, not to have any master. On an individual level, children are waiting when they'll become adults so that they'll become free from their parents. At the level of society also, nobody wants a master. Nobody wants to have anyone superior to them. We don't want anyone superior. So scientists have come out with the theory of evolution. That means we are the most evolved species. Nobody in the past was as superior as we are now. We are the supermost evolved species. So what is the point in hearing to ancestors through the Vedic wisdom? No point. But Prabhupada said that the goal of life is to become Sanat. And then on Juhu Beach, many people were taking their dogs on morning walk. And Prabhupada pointed to a gentleman who was fat and fit and who had an equally fat and fit dog. And both of them were walking confidently and briskly, morning walk. And Prabhupada pointed to the dog and told Giriraj Maharaj that just see, that dog has a master. So he's walking confidently. He's holding his head high and he's wagging his tail. And then he pointed to those dogs who didn't have a master. They're always in anxiety. They don't wag their tails. Their tails are under there. They keep their tails under. And they're always in anxiety. Children throw stones at them. And they don't know where they're going to sleep at night. They don't know where they'll find food. But the dog who has a master, he's confident, he's happy. He has no worries. He knows his master will provide for good food. And nowadays in market, more and more sophisticated dog food is coming. So he knows better and better food will come for me in the future. He's completely confident, happy. No worries. So Prabhupada said, similarly, every living entity wants a good master. If one has a good master And the best master is the Supreme Lord. Once a living entity is under the shelter of the Supreme Lord, he becomes confident, he becomes happy. Because he knows he'll be protected, he'll be cared for. We see Arjuna during the battle of Kurukshetra. His confidence was in Krishna. He knew that Krishna will protect him. During the war, Ghatotkacha was killed. And as soon as Ghatotkacha died, Krishna immediately started dancing on Arjuna's chariot. He started loudly laughing and shouting and clapping his hands in great happiness. And all the other warriors on the Pandava camp, they were morose, they were crying. And Arjuna, he was surprised. He said, "Oh Madhusudana, what is this behavior of yours? It is as inconceivable as the ocean drying up. Please explain, why are you dancing in so much jubilation?" And Krishna told Arjuna that, "My dear Arjuna, ever since Karna got this Shakti weapon, I was in great anxiety. And now I am relieved of my anxiety." Just like children, just like students dance after the exams are over, because they are free from anxiety. Similarly, Krishna was dancing. Big exam is over. Karna has used his Shakti weapon on Ghatotkacha. No more worry. So Arjuna, he never thought of it. So he looked at Ghatotkacha's big body. And then he started wondering that all these days Karna had this weapon, why didn't he use it on me? So he got that doubt, and seeing Arjuna's face, Krishna understood that Arjuna has this doubt. And he told Arjuna that ever since Karna got this Shakti weapon, while I was driving your chariot, I had to drive the chariot in such a way that Karna would never come one-on-one on you. Every day, the sons of Dhritarashtra used to inspire Karna, "Use the Shakti weapon on Arjuna today." And Karna used to come out determined on the battlefield. "Today I am going to use the Shakti weapon on Arjuna and I am going to finish him off today." And Krishna expertly used to take the chariot here and there so that Karna never got an opportunity. Arjuna didn't tell anything, but silently thought that, "I am sure Krishna as a super soul within his heart also bewildered Karna not to use the Shakti weapon on me." So after the whole episode was over, Arjuna is coming to know how Krishna had been protecting him all the time. And Krishna was in anxiety for Arjuna even without Arjuna's knowledge. And now Krishna is dancing in bliss. And Arjuna thought that if Krishna's protection is on someone, who can kill that person? So what a master to have the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What to speak of we getting into anxiety? He takes all anxiety for us, always caring and protecting his devotees. That is Krishna, Bhaktavatsal, the Supreme Lord. And then during this morning walk, Prabhupada quoted this particular verse, which appears in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela. "Bhavantam eva anucharan nirantara prashanta nishesha manoratantara kadahamai kantika nitya kinkara praharshayishyami sanata jivitam." This is originally from the Stotra Ratna by Yamunacharya, wherein he is praying that, "Bhavantam evanu charan nirantara, when will the day be mine, when, O Lord, I will be constantly engaged in your service, and by constantly engaging in your service, prashanta nishesha manorathantara, I will be freed from all mental concoctions which drives me here and there." Now, we see here Duryodhana, his mental concoctions, his mental ideas of how he can manipulate the whole war is driving him here and there. But it's of no use at all. So Vimalacharya is praying, Kadaham Ekantika Nitya Kinkara, when will the day be mine? Ekantika Nitya Kinkara, when I'll become your eternal servant, Praharshayishyami Sanata Jivitam, and then I'll become happy and completely joyful, having obtained a completely fitting and best master. So that is the goal of life. So right in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita we see, and in the introduction Prabhupada mentions, that dharma of a living entity is to render service. A serves B, B serves C serves D master, Prabhupada explains in the introduction. So to render service is inevitable. But if we choose to render service to the Supreme Lord Krishna and choose to make Him our master, then we become happy. If not, then it is the case as it is with Duryodhana. Duryodhana, in spite of his expertise, always in anxiety, always worrying what will happen. And Prabhupada mentions in that particular purport from the Chaitanya Charitamrita that unless one completely takes to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no question of becoming free from all anxieties. The only way is one completely takes to the shelter and service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, how Krishna protects his devotees sometimes even without the devotee's knowledge? One nice pastime or story Vishadbhuj Prabhu was telling me. In the 1960s, the Cold War was going on. And the American government had sent a nuclear submarine loaded with nuclear missiles into the sea, and everything was set to attack the USSR. Everything was pre-planned. They were going to get the orders, the final orders, on a particular day, and the commander of that particular submarine was waiting for the command. That was all that was left. Everything was set to attack the USSR. But somehow, without any explanation, the submarine was withdrawn and the attack was cancelled. No explanation was given. Many years passed, and the commander of this particular submarine, his grandson, became a devotee of the Hare Krishna movement. And this grandson gave Prabhupada Lilamrit to be studied by his grandfather. So as he was studying Srila Prabhupada Lilamrit, he saw the date on which Prabhupada landed on America, on American soil. And that was the exact date when the missiles were to take off, and that would be the start of the Third World War. So definitely it was planned by Krishna, so that Prabhupada's mission could go ahead unimpeded. And the devotee who sent this mail, His Grace Dhaneshwar Prabhu, who is in this temple right now, he was telling that we never know how many times the Third World War was withdrawn because of the presence of the devotees on the planet. Because Krishna is always there to protect his devotees, many times even without the knowledge of the devotees of the Lord. And we might wonder, is this protection only to the pure devotees? But in the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, I will end with this particular purport, section of the purport. Prabhupada says, Lord Krishna is very much pleased with his devotees, even if they are not on the topmost stage of devotional service. Even on the lower stages of devotional service, one is transcendental. And if one continues with devotional life, he continues to be a deva or sura. If one continues in this way, Krishna will always be pleased with him and will give him all instructions so that he may very easily return home back to Godhead. So thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Because it's time, we won't be taking any questions. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.